All right, let's get into the Word of God. We're continuing in a book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. My topic is the danger of legalism. Okay, we're continuing that discussion about legalism. Let's read the scripture before we get into our talk, before we get into our discussion. Mark 7, 14. Then Jesus called the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles your body. You are defiled by what comes out from your heart. Then Jesus went into the house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he just used. Don't you understand either, he said. He asked, can't you see that food you put in your body cannot defile you? The whole big debate is about washing your hands before you eat. Okay? Pharisees were afraid that if you eat with dirty hands, you're going to become unholy. They believed it so much that they were willing to condemn people who didn't wash their hands. And Jesus says, no, we're not going to follow that rule. Because it's not what goes into your mouth, your body that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. Okay? Let's keep reading. Don't you understand? Can't you see? The food you put in your body cannot defile you. Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes out into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. Remember the whole big debate about clean food, unclean food, clean animals, unclean animals? There were so many rules in Jewish traditions that people could never get holy before God. And see, Satan, what he likes to do, he likes to give you a whole bunch of rules. He knows that you can't keep them. And when you mess up, when you break the rule, that's not even God's rule. A lot of it, it's human rules. When you break the rule, what he does, he comes and condemns you. He comes and brings guilt in your life. And he knows when you feel guilty, you're not going to get closer to Jesus. You're going to naturally hide from Jesus. Do you remember what Adam and Eve did? As soon as they felt guilt, they hid. So you would think that when we feel guilty, when we feel out of place, we would run closer to Jesus. No. We run farther from Him. That's why sometimes you see people come to church and you can tell guilty. Not because you judge him, but because the person goes like this. Don't look at me. I'm hiding behind the bush. I'm naked. I don't want you to see my nakedness. I don't want you to see my private parts. I don't want to see you to see my private life. You know what I mean? First, Satan tempts you to do that. And then when you do that, guess what he does? He condemns you for doing it. He's not your friend. Have you ever had a friend like that in your life who tempted you to do something? And then when you did it, they were like, oh, I didn't do that. That was all him. That's how the devil is. That's not your true friend. Amen? Devil is not your friend. Just make that. You know, devil is not your friend. He's a trickster. And so they would have all these, Jewish people would have all these rules, and they would try to enforce them. And if you didn't follow the washing of hands rules, then you are not holy anymore. And Jesus says, no. I'm not going to follow your rules. Listen to what he says in verse 8. You ignore God's law. He condemns these guys, and he says, you substituted for your own traditions. So what they did was they added these rules to God's law, and they ignored law of God and substituted for the traditions. And Jesus says, no, that's your tradition. That's your cultural thing. That's not something everybody has to follow. Okay? And then let's keep reading. Food does not go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. So whatever you eat, God doesn't condemn you. You eat a snake, good for you. You know, whatever you want to eat. I don't want to eat that, but if you feel that's your thing, God is not going to condemn you for that. Okay? And if you eat a pig, it might clog your arteries, but God is not going to condemn you. You're not going to lose your salvation, and you're not going to become less holy. Okay, so Jesus declared, food doesn't defile you. Washing of hands does not defile you. However, he did say something that does defile us. Let's keep going. And then he added, it is what comes from the inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. So, Pharisees said, these minute things, like washing of hands, defile you. And they didn't follow the real things that did actually defile them. All right? So let's talk about legalism. Throughout the whole New Testament, we see an open battle between Jesus and legalists. Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees were the conservative wing. Sadducees was liberal wing of the Jewish church. Okay? And some of you here today are conservative views. Some of you have liberal views, and everybody's welcome. Notice one thing Jesus didn't do. He didn't say, Pharisees are my people and Sadducees are not. Or Sadducees are my people and... No. Jesus is not political. He's not Democrat or Republican. Okay? He's not a legalist. He's not extreme. He is people above party. He's people above philosophy or view. Okay? So it doesn't matter what you believe in. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Politically wise, Jesus still loves you. You're no better than the person on the opposite side of the party or to the left or to the right. Amen? And if you have hate in your heart, it can manifest by saying, oh, these people are so dumb. I can't believe they believe that. I can't believe they do that. Amen? That's not Jesus. All right? And we'll see that today. All right? So Jesus had the biggest debate, the biggest battle with religious people. He called religious people sons of hell, sons of the devil. He called them snakes, sons of vipers. He called them tombs that look beautiful on the outside, but full of bones and death on the inside. Do you see that? Jesus, and eventually, legalists is who killed Jesus. Legalists who always persecuted. Legalists are violent people because they're full of hate. Their heart was never changed. It was all about washing hands. It was all about outside. How you look on the outside, it's about mask that you wore. Everything is okay. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good today. But really, their heart was full of death. Their heart was not changed, so it was full of hate and death. And eventually, they said, if you're not going to wash hands, we're going to kill you. So legalism cares about rules more than it cares about people. Just remember this. Legalism, it could happen anywhere. It happens in our day. Legalists are people who care more about their point of view than people. Legalists care more about their philosophy, the way they look at life, than people. And Jesus said, no, I care more about people than the rules. You remember a woman who was caught in adultery? Husbands, okay? Imagine this. You come home and your wife is with another man. That's what it means, right? Woman caught in adultery. I mean, women, how many of you would want to kill your man yourself if you saw that? You'd go and get that gun out of that thing and shoot him. Even if it was a BB gun, you'd shoot him many times in his... You would do some, right? So this man comes home and he finds his wife with another man. And he goes, well, he knew he couldn't kill her himself. So what he did was he brought her in front of religious people and they bring her in front of Jesus. She deserves to die. And her husband is raging. She deserves to die. And they come to Jesus and said, by the law of Moses, we're supposed to kill her. And Jesus said, and they knew that they couldn't kill her. They were tricking Jesus. Let me show you why. Rome was the occupying power in the land of Israel at that time. In order to kill any citizen, you had to bring them before the Roman court. Jesus had to be brought. Jews could not kill Jesus by themselves. It was illegal. So they had to bring him before the Pilate to be judged. Same thing. They couldn't stone this woman to death. It was illegal. So they brought it before Jesus, trying to trick him. Because if he says, kill her, then they will say, well, let's go get Pilate. He'll kill Jesus now because that's illegal. If he says, don't kill her, then he's breaking Moses' law. And now we got him. And Jesus is being so smart. He says, I mean, this is the wisdom of God in him. He says, who's here without a sin? Throw the first stone. And Bible says that they started walking away. First, the more religious ones started walking away. Then their students. The rocks were falling. Instead of being in their hand, it was falling down to the ground. What did Jesus do? He put a person above the rule. But didn't the law of Moses set to kill? Yes, it does. It did. But nobody in that time and in our time follows the law completely. The law of Moses said if you do follow all the rules and break one, you're guilty of the whole thing. So even under the law of Moses, God wanted them to understand it's still by grace. It's not about the law. It's still by grace. Because the Bible says no man could fulfill the whole law. So everyone is guilty of breaking the whole law. That's why we still need faith and trust in Christ. Because He fulfilled the law for us. Now, why is it so important to see this picture? How many of you were there with Adam and Eve when they broke the first rules by eating, disobey God and eat the fruit? How many of you were there with him? How many of you? Sometimes it seems like this. It's not fair. Why am I punished by something somebody else did, like Adam and Eve? Right? We're all punished because of one man, Adam. The Bible calls him the first Adam. So everybody from Adam went like this and became sinner. Now, Bible says there's a second Adam who came and lived perfectly. And everyone who believes in him become like him by faith in front of God. You didn't sin in the Garden of Eden. It was your great, great parents, Adam and Eve. You weren't righteous. But sin was accounted to you from Adam and Eve, right? To every one of us. If we believe in Christ, His righteousness is accounted the same way as sin was accounted. Somebody needs to get more excited because I'm so happy preaching this message. Hallelujah. So what is legalism? Legalism is substituting of God's law for your own traditions. It's adding to God's law, believing that it will help you follow the law. It's following certain parts of the law and making other people follow it as you do. It's super adherence to the rules and traditions in believing that it will make you holy. It's believing that following a rule of the law will make you righteous before God. It's taking one part of the law that's easy to fulfill and relying on it to be righteous and bragging in front of the rest of the people. It's washing your hands before eating while dishonoring your father and mother. Which is more important? That's a commandment. Jesus said, you exchanged honoring your father and mother for washing of hands, and you made washing of hands more important. He says, no. Honoring your father and mother is more important. It's legalism is caring about the rules of Sabbath while condemning the healing of a person by Jesus on Sabbath. Do you remember what legalists did? They said, I don't care if this person is sick and in suffering. You can't do it on a Sabbath. Jesus said, but if your sheep falls into the pit. Wouldn't you pull it out on Sabbath? They said, yeah, but it's a sheep. So legalists care about rules more than people. Legalists care about animals more than people. And Jesus says, how can you say that? You would rescue the sheep out of a pit, but you would let a person who's been suffering 38 years not be healed because it's on Sabbath. What if God wanted to heal him on Sabbath? What if that's the only day God decided, I'm going to heal this person? Not yesterday, not on Sunday, not on Friday, but on Sabbath. You see, the problem and why Jesus was so frustrated with legalists. He took a whip and started getting him out of the temple saying, get out! It's taking care of your house on the outside, painting it, doing landscaping, having perfect lawn, while inside it's infested, diseased, full of rats, cockroaches, full of bed bugs. That's what religion does. It says, make sure you look good on the outside. Heart, nobody cares. Jesus says, no. Make sure your heart is right, and outside will become right itself. And many times in our churches, we focus on how long your skirt is. We focus on how long your hair is. And we miss the biggest issue. It's the heart. Jesus cares about the heart. Legalism is a hidden danger to every human being. How many of you ever saw a movie called Yes Man? Not a very good movie. Some parts, pretty funny at other times. Yes Man. In Yes Man, Jim Carrey plays a banker, right? He's a banker that he says no to everybody. His life is full of no. 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 And he comes to the point, his wife left him because he always said no to her. His friends don't want to be around him, or he doesn't want to be around his friends. He can't help people with his job. He's saying no to everybody. And somehow, his life is miserable, right? In that movie. And then somehow, he comes to a conference of some guru who says, I want you to say yes to everything. Now, the guru didn't mean that you say yes to everything. But you know, he was so desperate, he was willing to try everything. And so he made a covenant, what he thought. He made a covenant and he was going to say yes to everything. Okay? And so in that movie, what happens is he went from one side of the aisle saying no to everything and being miserable to the other side where he was saying yes and he was getting himself in trouble. That's what legalism is. On one side, it's saying, like Pharisees, it was all no. It was all no. We're supposed to live a miserable life. No to laughing. No to dancing. No to having fun. You can't touch a little bit of wine, otherwise God will strike you dead. No, no. Can we do this? No. Can we do that? No. Can we have fun? No. And then they would come to your bed if you were married and they would say, no, that. And then they would put guilt on a whole bunch of married people. And then you couldn't sleep together in one bed on Fridays. Or you could on Fridays and you couldn't sleep these other days. And it was all no, it was legalism. Jesus says you put burdens on people. That's what legalism does, it put burdens on people. And I'm going to read it to you in a bit. And so. How many of you know, have you ever seen a grandfather's clock? It has that pendulum, right? That's supposed to swing from right to left. Well, if it swings in that safe zone, it's working properly. But as soon as that pendulum starts going a little bit too much to the right, or a little bit too much to the left, the clock starts getting all out of whack. So legalism can work on both sides. First, legalism could go too far to the right and everything is no. And your life is miserable and boring and you have no joy. And when people look at you, they say, I don't want to be a Christian. That's you too much to the right. That fundamentalist, no TV, you can't go to the movies. You can't listen to 104.7. You can. Oh, no. You What can I do? You can't sleep with your wife like that. You can't do anything. It's too much to the right, right? The clock is getting broken. Now, on the other side, there is another side of this where it's too much to the left, where it's like, oh, you can do anything. When legalist is afraid to drive 36 miles an hour in 35 zone, he starts feeling guilty. Oh, God, God, forgive me. Or he drives 35 and whoever goes 36, he goes, sinner. Right? That's what on the right side does. Too much. Well, on the left side, you can fall into legalism too. You could say, no, anything goes. Yes to everything. So in 35, you're going 85. And you're hurting people because you're going to get into a crash. You're going to hurt yourself and you might hurt other people. And that's what Jim Carrey started doing. He was saying yes to everything. And by the time he realized, yes wasn't working for him either. And so he finds this guru, jumps into his car. How many of you seen that? Some of you got to watch that again. Jumps in the back of his car. And he, as he's getting out, he freaks him out because he wants out of this contract that he signed with universe or karma, whatever. And he's like, and he starts yelling and the guy freaks out and crashes. You remember that? In his nice convertible? Okay, see, I watched this before, just the clips, but before I prepared this message. And what happened? He's like, you got to release me from this yes thing. And he's like, you were never under the yes thing. You can't say yes to everything. Because in one of them, his girlfriend asked him if he wanted to move in with her. And he didn't want to. And he said yes. He just had to do some things that he felt. And that's what a lot of people feel. When you're a Christian, then you have to say no to everything. Or if you're a Christian, then you can say yes to everything. On one side, it's legalism. On the other side, it's licentiousness or license to sin. Do you see there's a balance? There's a sweet spot on a grandfather's clock that pendulum swings in? Bible says, follow the law of God. Don't depart from it to the right or to the left. A lot of times we find ourselves in trouble, even politics-wise too, because we're too far to the right or we're too far to the left. We start hating people. We put a party above people. I've done it. I'm guilty. I'm not perfect. We start hating. And Jesus is not on the your far left or far right. He's in the middle. He says, don't depart. This is the road. Follow it. Don't depart. Love goes above rules. Love goes above legalism. Love goes above everything. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you getting this legalist thing? There is a sweet spot. Right? There's some rules that God did give us. And we should follow them. But when we start bending truth and adding to it, Bible says don't add to the Word of God. Don't you add to the Word of God. And in Christ, see, we are freed from the law. See, how many of you wake up in the morning and say, I got to follow the law of God. I got to follow the law of God. I didn't want to break anything today. Guess what you're going to do? If you do that, you're going to break more rules. Then Bible says, we're not under the law anymore. As a Christian, you've been freed from the law because law makes you puts bondage over you. If you're trying not to drive over 35 miles per hour, it's too hard. That's why there's the grace period, right? The cops won't pull you over if you drive one over. Sometimes five over, they won't pull you over, right? But then grace period is gone. You're too much to the right or left. Okay? And so Jesus wants you to want Christians to live free. He wants us to live without bondage. He wants us to enjoy life. He says, I have come so you may have life to the fullest. Many scriptures in the Bible says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be blessed as the man, which is happy as the man. God wants you to be happy. Don't put rules on yourself that God never put on you. Hallelujah. How do you become a legalist?
How do we become a legalist?
Guys, let's put that on the screen. Let's read that. Ready? Make rules outside of the Bible. Push yourself to try and keep your rules. Not God's rules, real rules. Castigate or punish yourself when you don't keep your rules. That's happened to Martin Luther, right? He used to be beating himself because he tried following the rules. Yeah. You've seen the movie by Dan Brown. What's that movie he came up with? He wrote a book about it, a very popular book, Da Vinci Code. The guy was putting a spike thing on his leg, remember? And he would walk because he had issues. He had hate. And he was trying to get rid of hate out of his heart by punishing his body. That's what Martin Luther used to do, the founder of Lutheran Church. Right? He used to crawl on his knees for miles trying to find righteousness. And then he finally came to conclusion when he read Galatians, I believe, the righteous shall live by faith, not by works. By faith. Faith is the power that God gives to help you live righteously. Remember the story of Biggest Loser. They try doing it themselves, but they can't. But as soon as they give their life to somebody else, they suddenly have power to lose crazy weight. That's what I'm talking spiritually. We got to submit to Jesus and say, Jesus, so when you wake up in the morning, you don't say, what rules am I going to follow today? Now, these I'm good at. So I'll feel good if I do these two. Yeah, I break these, but I feel good if I do these two. And yeah, it balances itself out. And then if people don't do this, I can walk and feel all proud. My child, you got sin in your life. Why don't you do these two? Well, usually we pick the ones that are easy for us, right? If you don't have problem with greed, you know, but you have problem with lust. So you choose that. You can't be greedy. You know, and then you judge everybody. You look down at people who you think are greedy. Well, people, different people struggling with different sins. Right? You got issues. I got issues. Hallelujah. So, let's keep reading. You castigate yourself when you don't keep your rules. You become proud when you do keep your rules. Arrogant. You appoint yourself as a judge over other people. How many times did Jesus say, who puts you a judge over other people? Right? You get angry with people who break your rules or have different rules. That's legalism, right? And then number seven, you beat the losers. You don't follow my rules? The Pharisees said to Jesus, we're going to kill you. We're going to crucify you. And the Bible says they crucified him because they were jealous of him. That's all. Hallelujah. I got so much more to say, but our time is up. I'll ask you for five more minutes, if I can. Five more minutes. I don't want to preach if you guys don't want to hear it. Five more minutes, okay? And we're done. Let's go. Let's do it. Number one, legalism puts crushing loads of rules on people. Matthew 23:4. Let's put it up there, guys. Matthew 23:4. Legalism puts crushing loads of rules on people. Listen to this. Jesus said, they crush people with unbearable religious demand and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Legalism puts rules on you. When you have rules, it's heavy. Right? Rules don't bring joy or peace. Rules don't make you know Jesus more. Number two, legalism adds rules that God did not expect us to follow instead of the ones that He does. Like washing of hands instead of honoring your father and mother. Which is more important? Honoring your father and mother. Jesus said that. Number three, legalism puts people under guilt and condemnation. Listen to this, Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Devil likes to condemn people and says, you're not good enough. You didn't do enough for God. God has abandoned you.
If you're in Christ Jesus, Bible says there's no condemnation. Whatever you feel condemned, that's not God, that's the devil. And you need to tell him, devil, stand behind me. I'm not going to listen to you. God loves me. And I'm going to follow him. Amen? Number four, legalism puts rules and agendas above people and human beings. It cares more about protecting the rules than people. Legalism is aggressive, violent, and militant. If you disagree with me, I'll kill you. That was the mindset of the Pharisees. Legalism does not bring people closer to God. Listen to me. If you try following all the rules in the Bible, you will not get any closer, a step closer to God. Now, what do we do with the law of God? Do we throw it away then? Because that's a common question. Remember last week I said, law of God is like the X-ray. It's designed to show us how far we are, how close we are with God. It's like a mirror. When you look at it, it'll show you who you are. But guess what? Mirror has no power to fix you. X-ray has no power to heal the broken bone. It can just show you. So Bible says it's important for us to read the law of God. David says, I love the law of God. I meditate on it day and night. Joshua says, if you meditate on the law of God, you will be successful and you will prosper. But guess what? It's not going to get you closer to God. Amen. Legalism does not bring people closer to God and to close relationship with Jesus. It makes you act or perform. It makes you rely on your own strength to please God, and no one can. It builds pride and arrogance. And if you finally achieve your legalistic expectations, you end up with no Christ. So you do all these rules for years, you follow them, and you end up being dead, dry, religious person. Young people, I want you to know Jesus. I want Him to be living inside of you every day. I want His Word to live inside of you. Older people, I want you to be penetrated. I want you to be full of Jesus. Instead of waking up in the morning and saying, what rules I can follow, say, Jesus, I want to talk with you. Lead me, guide me, show me what I'm doing is wrong. God has really blessed my wife and I in business and things. And a few years ago, we were about to lose everything. We were in a hard spot. But the interesting thing about it, that Holy Spirit, every morning, would bother me. Have you ever been bothered by the Holy Spirit? It's not like condemning. It's like He's saying, don't do that. Change that about your business practice. And I'm like, I don't know, Jesus, that's such an easy way to make money. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Everybody does it, you know. Nobody reports cash, you know. We hide this stuff. Holy Spirit, no, no, no. He said, you don't do that. But God, but God, but for 2 years, that voice has been bothering me, bothering me, bothering me. And finally, it wasn't for 2 years, but finally I started changing. Not because of the law, but because of the Spirit. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And for me it was one thing. For you it might be another thing that He's saying to you. So don't look at me and say, oh. You got to look at and say, what is God telling me every morning? And He started, and finally, before I knew, He got everything in order in my business, in my life. And after that happened, I got audited. That was the worst letter I got from IRS. And 2 years, when things have been good, they asked me those 2 years. The two previous years they wanted to check was the years that Holy Spirit already done the work. I was so happy. It was the worst letter I got, like I said. But when they checked and they said, we owe you money. You just need to redo your taxes because you have $14,000 of write-offs that you didn't write off. That was a good feeling. I was so happy. I was so happy because the lady knew I was a Christian who was auditing me. She knew I was a pastor. And I didn't want to be. And I heard another guy was busted for $45,000 he had to pay in penalties and everything. I was so glad that Holy Spirit was leading me. It's like, Lord, thank you. Now, I've got other issues that he's still working on. I'm not there yet. Trust me. I got other issues that he's... I'm not... Don't put me on no pedestal. Don't put a little halo around my head because I'm not perfect. You're going to be disappointed if you do. You should look to Jesus, not me. Never look to me. I'm just like you, sinner. But you should look to Jesus. See, his voice was bothering me. And I'm so glad that he gave me power to obey. Because I don't know where I would be right now. I couldn't handle no $45,000 in penalties. I didn't have that money. I'm so glad. Some of you can testify the same thing. You can say, man, I'm so glad, Holy Spirit, you protected me from this thing. I'm so glad I went to the right when I wanted to go to the left. Or I went to the left when I wanted to go to the right. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm very excited. I know my time is up, so I'm going to get done here. Galatians 5:1, and we're praying. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. God doesn't want you to follow the law. He wants you to read the law, but He wants you to follow the Spirit. And Spirit knows what you need now. What change you need now. It's going to help your marriage. Nobody wants a religious wife, legalistic wife who always, you made a mistake, you made a mistake, you made a mistake. Nobody wants a legalistic husband who's always not happy, always no. Can we have some money? No. Can we go eat? No. We got to give it to the poor, you know. Yes, we do got to give to the poor, but let's go out and eat too, you know? Nobody wants legalistic friends, right? Who are always acting better than thou. When I see my kids acting legalistic, I'm like, man, what a... They play soccer sometimes in the backyard and they yell and they become such legalists. Kids could be such legalists. They could be such a perfectionist. Like, you can't do that! But I just saw you do it a few seconds ago. Well, yeah, but now I don't do it. Right? That's how legalism, and Christ hates legalism. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery of the law. When you wake up in the morning, tomorrow, you say, Holy Spirit, lead me. What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do in my life differently? How can I treat my wife better? How can I treat my kids better? How can I be a better employee? How can I be a better boss? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Trust me. He's never going to disappoint. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to start the work in you and then not finish. The work that He began in you, He's going to complete it.